If you're surrounding people and they are talking about things you don't want to talk about, doing things you don't want to be doing, they get out of the room. You said it so perfectly. It's like if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
If you want to work on physical success, it has to start in the mind. Welcome to this episode where we'll explore the key aspects of harnessing the power of the mind and adopting a holistic approach to living. In today's fast-paced world, where stress and overwork are celebrated as the benchmark of discipline and success, it is essential to harness the power of the mind to unlock holistic living and avoid burnout. The mind has immense potential, and when we tap into it, we can overcome obstacles, manifest our desires, and lead a more fulfilling life. Welcome back, athletes. I'm your host, Sherry Shaban, and with each episode, I am honored to be your coach and guide in the journey to fall in love with fitness and ultimately yourself. My intention in each episode is to help you release the old story of who you are and step into the one you are always meant to be. Through these conversations, together we will step away from focusing on the doing and step into the being so that health and fitness is not just what you do, but who you are. Madhu Das, a holistic and business lifestyle coach, shares his journey from being a celibate monk to helping healers grow their business. He emphasizes the importance of training the mind and connecting with a higher power to achieve success. Madhu discusses the power of faith and surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals who've achieved what you desire. He also introduces the monk mindset method, a four-step process for creating sustainable success around any aspect of your life, including health, relationships, and career. And before we meet Madhu, just some super quick announcement I'd like to share with you today, athletes. First of all, early bird registration for Transformation in Paradise, Metamorphosis Greece is closing at the end of this week. So if you're thinking of joining me in Greece next year, October 12 to 19, 2024, and you're curious if this retreat is the right fit for you, let's get in touch to go over all the details and answer your questions. You can always email me at sherry@sherryshaban.com. And then finally, I've got more news for you. I'm bringing back the 28-day Extreme Core Transformation Challenge this January. So watch out for more information on the details in the upcoming episodes, as well as on my socials. I've completely revamped the challenge with new workouts and additional content. So if you've been suffering with gut health-related issues and feel like your body could use a reset and release inflammation, the challenge is for you. More details to come soon. Now, without further ado, let's meet Madhu. Hi, Madhu. Welcome to the show.
So grateful to be here with you, Sherry.
So excited to be here. And I love your energy. We've been talking now for a few minutes. I'm like, oh my God, I'm completely mesmerized by your conversation, by your eyes, by your energy. And I just got a couple of minutes of your life story and I'm already super intrigued. And so you are a holistic and business lifestyle coach. So first of all, I want to tap into what that means. And then something that you just said that I had to write down, I think I want to start off with this quote. And you said something like, if you want to work on physical success, it has to start in the mind. And so I love that this is what we'll be focusing on today. But first of all, welcome Madhu to the show, and then share with us also how you've become a holistic and business lifestyle coach.
Absolutely. Well, I first share that I'm so grateful for you putting all the time and love and effort into creating such a special place for us to get together and talk about these things. And so my gratitude to you. Yes, it's, I always like to say it's hard to sometimes encapsulate what exactly people do into a few words. And, especially someone who's very strange like myself. But the reason we say holistic business and lifestyle coach is because for years I used different Eastern medicine practices called Ayurveda, pretty much old, weird Eastern sciences per se, to heal. And, worked with many hundreds and hundreds of people from around the world. And it was only about 2.5 years ago, 3 years almost, where I turned my attention to helping more healers themselves, others who are everything from like therapists to Ayurvedic practitioners to traditional Chinese medicine, physical therapists, et cetera. I've been helping them grow six and seven figure businesses in the same way that we grew ours. And so that's why we kind of lump them together in terms of holistic business as well as the lifestyle, because I don't believe that you can have a successful business if you don't have a successful lifestyle, and vice versa. It's very hard to have a successful lifestyle if you don't have some money coming in doing something that you love.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I love that you say that because I do believe that how you do anything is how you do everything. And so, what brought you to this space? Why is it important for you to bring that spiritual aspect, especially into the business world?
Well, I did what most 18-year-old men don't do, and that is shave my head and became a celibate monk on my 18th birthday. And so I lived in a monastery between India and different monasteries in the West for about half a decade. And after graduating the monastery, the whole reason you leave, 99% of monks are only student monks for a few years. And the reason that you graduate is so that you can become a normal person, hence the hair. I don't know that anyone would call me normal, but
Normal is
the
boring.
idea. Yeah, normal is boring. And the idea is you bring this to society. You teach others how they can also train their mind in such a way as to provide a happy life. But I had knew nothing about money, nothing about business. Even prior to 18, I was like a lifeguard making a few dollars an hour, nothing about money. And so that's when I started to learn, okay, how do I support myself here? I got the spiritual stuff done, I got the health stuff done. Grateful about my relationships, but money was practically non-existent. So after getting to learn and study the science and the knowledge around finances and money and generating wealth, I realized how important it was to figure out a sustainable way to do that. And we're healing. I mean, when I say healing, I actually believe healing is something that can be channeled. I cannot heal myself personally, but the idea is that I can be an instrument for healing for others. So when I refer to me healing, really, I'm referring to me being an instrument for healing. So I was doing that for years, but as a lot of holistic healers out there might know, it's quite cliche that those in the wellness space sometimes can struggle financially with how to advertise themselves and market themselves because it can feel slimy and sleazy. So that's why we develop what's called the conscious closing method, which means how to sell yourself without selling your soul or
Right.
compromising your integrity or your values like that. And so that's the direction that we wound up going in.
That's so beautiful. I love that you say that, and definitely more of this work is needed. And you're right. Sometimes it feels like a paradox a little bit that you're in this wellness space, you're obsessed with helping people, you're all about contribution, but then at the same time, there's this need, obviously, to be able to support your lifestyle, provide for your families. And so, how do you help people overcome that in general?
Well, everything starts with the mind. Even we're talking about physical fitness and the idea of the body, the physical part that you see of the body. There is no physical fitness without mental fitness. I mean, and if there is, it can be unfortunate. Like we might have seen in our life somebody can be the most fit, strong gymnast who could do the coolest things, but they could be a sociopath, or they could be miserable. They could be the most miserable person. Because if you can have physical health, but until you have some type of mental stability, some way of training the mind to cooperate, to be your friend, to work with you, there's no use to physical fitness. What to speak of, it's very difficult to become physically healthy without having a healthy mind because they're so interconnected. So we learned as monks who, we had everything planned ahead of time. We'd wake up at about 3:30, 4 in the morning and do a few hours of meditation individually, a few hours collectively, do studies, spend the rest of the day serving, et cetera, which sounds kind of miserable for an outsider. People are like, what? You had to wake up what time? You had to do how much meditation? You had to go out and serve all day? You made no money? It sounds miserable from a material perspective, but actually, happiness comes from service. And the other thing that we learn in terms of spending your days, the type of discipline is you learn how to control the mind and tell the mind what to do so it doesn't tell you what to do. Because you say, I'm doing this at this time, no matter how I feel. I don't care if I want to do it. I don't care if I don't want to do it. And that discipline of the mind is really what's necessary to become successful in anything. Because until you can commit to the disciplined behaviors that are going to provide success, even if success comes, it's going to be fleeting. You have it and now it's gone. But if you can commit to training the mind to do the things you want it to do for the rest of your life, that's true success for both your physical health as well as mental, emotional health, spiritual health, etc.
So good, so good. And you're so in line with also how I coach and what I teach. And super interesting because a lot of people come see me and they're wanting a meal plan or they're wanting a diet, they're wanting an exercise program, and we always start with the mind first. And for those that are ready to get going, this actually feels like they're putting on the brakes. But here's the thing, Madhu, You know, I come from a background where I was hit by a car as a teenager. I've damaged my spine. I've gone through many, many challenges and actually had to overcome myself through my mind that I am able to accomplish anything by just being more connected and intuitive with how I'm feeling. And so, even though doctors said I wouldn't do many of the things that I do today and that I would be on pain medication for the rest of my life, what I actually did is switch into the identity that I've always envisioned for myself. So, I don't focus on I am a person with a bad back or I'm a person who has back problems. I don't ever focus on that. What I focus on is I am a person who is an athlete. And now that opens up a whole other bunch of doors because now it is about how I'm showing up for something and it allows flexibility, it allows adaptability. And more importantly, it gives me that drive to continue to show up every single time and remind me that I don't have to do this, I get to do this. And so I'm curious from your perspective, is that similar when you talk about training the mind? Is it about embracing an identity or is it really about focus and discipline?
I think both. The idea being the mind is always trying to prove whatever you share with it. So that's why somebody says, I'm never gonna lose this weight. I'm never gonna feel better. I'm gonna be tired. Then your mind is always gonna try to prove that to be true. And so as you so eloquently have expressed, the idea is the identity that we connect ourselves with, which in Sanskrit, there's this term called ahankara or a false ego, the conception of self, if you will. That conception of self that we identify with, our whole physiology and psychology is going to try to prove that to be true. So if we say I'm the best, it's going to try to prove we're the best. If we say I'm the worst, it's going to try to prove that we're the worst. So the idea being when we're starting with the mind and trying to create a conception of self is we want to understand who we are because we know we're not the body because the body changes. We're not just a chemical soup because, you know, is somebody less of a person if they don't have an arm? No, because they're not their body. They have a body. I always like that saying, you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. And the idea is, are you your mind? You can't be because you can observe the mind. You can change the mind. You can witness the mind. The idea is there's this different Sanskrit mantras we chant, but also English mantras we chant. We always like to say, I'm not my body. I'm not my mind. I'm something divine. And to the extent that we connect our identification with the highest version of ourself, the realest us per se, the healthiest version, as you're mentioning, the most optimal version of ourself, we are now going to be finding every opportunity in life to prove that to be true. And why, so why wouldn't we want to do that? Why would we then want to confine ourselves by all of these lesser identifications? And so absolutely your point is so appropriate and relatable for anyone who wants to improve the quality of their life is first act like the person, attribute the behaviors of the successful person or the healthy person you want to become.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so interesting you say that's exactly a process that I bring people through, which is first create the identity that is the highest version of yourself. And now let's look through the habits. What are the habits that you do all day? And now you can start to schedule these things. But what about that person? Because this for me also requires sometimes more attention and delicacy. That person who's been struggling, let's say, with weight their entire life since such a young age, and they've tried many, many times. They've done diet after diet, they've done procedures, they've gone to see doctors. And now, through all of those years, if not decades of ex failed experiences, the message that they have is nothing works for me. It's never going to work for me, and I just have to accept things as they are. And it's almost feeling defeated in their current circumstance. So, where do you begin with a person, let's say, who has those limiting beliefs, who's had decades of negative experiences or failed experiences? Where do you begin in terms of shifting the mind to work with you instead of against you?
Well, I'll first say I can totally commiserate to a certain degree. Somebody with an autoimmune disease dealt with different types of health challenges and grew up definitely with a lot of these beliefs that, oh, well, this is, you know, hereditary things. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm gonna have to deal with this. And so I definitely, my heart goes to those of you who are in that particular situation. The example I'd like to share is just because there's counterfeit money doesn't mean real money doesn't exist. And what I mean there is we may have experiences with things that don't work, but the proof that things that the proof at least we've created or concocted that things don't work isn't proof that there isn't an option that can work.
So good.
And so really what it comes down to is, I think it was Albert Einstein who said something along the lines of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. One thing that's guaranteed in this life is change. Everything is changing no matter what. And so what we want to do is always try something that makes sense, that can move us in a positive direction, because the alternative to that type of helpless feeling that we might all experience at times where it's like, oh, there's nothing else I can do. There's no other option. We don't know if we're helpless or not. I mean, we could philosophize and say, okay, you know, are there powers higher than us? Yes. If you say there ain't, just go out in the sun for a couple hours, you're going to realize, okay, there's powers. You go in the middle of the ocean, say there's no power. You know, so we're just, if we understand, okay, there's powers higher than us, whatever that highest of all higher powers are, there, people say all the time, the universe has got my back. Okay, the universe, this divine principle source, the love supreme, call it whatever you so desire. The idea being, if there is a beneficial source greater than me that can support me, that knows what I might need, that knows how to provide me what I might need, then there is no need to unnecessarily accept this idea of helplessness. Mm-hmm. Because if we know that there's powers greater than us that can help and support us, then if we don't know one way or the other, why not then choose the idea that there's always an option? There's always something that can move me towards my betterment. There's always something that can incline me in the direction towards success in whatever endeavor we are moving towards, as opposed to voluntarily attributing this idea of I am helpless. There is no option. Because one thing we know is always change. And you might not be changing in a beneficial direction, but that's okay. Let's make new behaviors. Let's make new shifts. Let's make new changes to move you in a positive directions with the knowing, with the faith that there's a reason we're experiencing what we're experiencing, because things aren't random. If you look around the world, there's nothing random. You're not going to be able to find anything seemingly random about the universe. Everything makes perfect sense, from the way that water evaporates to the rains pour to the way that a plant grows. Everything makes logical, systematic sense in this world. So then why would it not make logical sense that you're going through what you're going through for a reason that you will one day look back and say, I'm so grateful that this happened to me because X. And so voluntarily choosing, we could say faith over fear. Mm. Per se.
So good. So good. And I was actually going to bring up that F word, faith. Okay. Earlier when you were sharing, and you know, I talk about the effect of the nervous system, the autonomic nervous system a lot. And everything that you just shared was either being what I call protection mode, which is sympathetic nervous state, or in parasympathetic, which is what I call safety mode. And so when our nervous system is wired for survival, which is sympathetic nervous state, we will direct our thoughts to the worst case scenarios, because that is the way the mind is able to escape possible or potential threat in its environment. So it would be normal that we would have negative thoughts and thoughts that things won't work out and anxiety and thoughts of the future or thoughts of the past, because when that part of the nervous system is dominant, those are the thoughts that will also be created. And so what you're also sharing right now is, in order for us to really be able to start to switch that flip that switch and go into safety mode, it is going to require faith, which is exactly what we're wanting to project our thoughts around. But again, for that person who has no faith, who maybe doesn't look for a higher power, or doesn't actually maybe look or have some sort of, you know, spiritual connection, what would you say is a way to harness faith for somebody who is lacking that feeling of certainty? Because faith is really you just being certain in the uncertainty. So how do you create that?
Yeah, what I would say is everyone has faith in something. I mean, when we get in our car, we have faith that it's not going to, you know, the brakes are going to work and it's not going to crash into something in front of us. When we eat food, we have faith that it's going to nourish us and not kill us. If we look throughout our days, every single decision we're making is based off of faith. So really the question is what to have faith in. And I think this is an important area to talk about values and really philosophize the idea of the options that are available to have faith in. And as somebody who's darn right cynical and skeptical, which has gotten me in a lot of trouble in this life, I totally get it. I mean, I've had enough experience in my life to go, I mean, why have faith in anything but myself? The only thing I can control. It's true. You're the only thing you can control. If you try to control someone else, good luck. You try to control nature, good luck. Ain't going to work. Even when we're talking about self, it comes back to original point, which is the only thing you can't control about yourself is your mind. I mean, heck, you can't even control your thoughts or your bowels. It's like there's so few things you actually have control of. So we always do come back to the idea of controlling the mind. I mean to say that when we're talking about faith, we're talking about understanding the reality around us, which is in three categories. There's only three things perceivable outside of self. And one is that you are a unit of consciousness. I think, therefore I am. The fact that you can ask yourself the question, am I a unit of consciousness, means that you are a unit of consciousness. You have a conception of self. And then we know that we're not this body. We have a body. And again, how do we know? It's because the body changes. Every 7 years, every cell in your body is completely regenerated, which means every 7 years you've taken on new carne, you've reincarnated. And so we know I'm not the body. We also know I'm not the mind, because I can observe the mind. I'm something beyond. I am this unit of consciousness that transcends, that goes beyond the physical stuff around me. So I know I'm a unit of consciousness. And then we also know there's something around us, be it real or false, illusory. That's a different discussion. But we know there's something outside. We know that both you and I can point to the same thing. And we both say, this is it, X, Y, Z.
Right.
We know there's something outside of self. And then there's a third consideration. Where does it all come from? Then we might say source, divine, just the highest of high powers. That's really all we're talking about here, is where does self come from? Where does these things that are transient and temporary around us come from? And so when we're talking about philosophy or theology, we're really just talking about self. What am I as a unit of consciousness? What is this nature around me? And then what is the conception of divinity or source? And what I always like to say is, if you don't know, then why not choose the greatest conception conceivable? And that is what we call a triple OG. It means a fully omnibenevolent, omniscient, and omnipotent divine source or higher power, which means all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-loving. Would the highest conception of the highest of all high powers be all-loving, all-knowing, and all-powerful? Yeah. Like that. Like, is there a greater conception? Can you conceive of a higher power than I cannot? I mean, I'm open to it, but I cannot. And so therefore, if there is a source that knows exactly what I need, knows exactly what to do and can do anything, all powerful, and loves me more than anything, could that source know what's best for me and provide what's best for me? Absolutely. So we're just talking about how to practice. I say practice because faith is a practice. How to practice understanding that out of all the conceptions there are in the world,
right,
there's a highest power, the highest power conceivable, would want what's best with us, knows how to give it to us, wants to give it to us, and can give it to us. And that's how we practice faith.
So good. So good. I love that. I love that so much. And that's a really, really important component and piece of the puzzle. And I'll just add maybe one more, and just curious as to what you think of that. But, you know, just in the material world, and I usually refer to it as the matrix, for us to really have faith, it always can begin with something as simple as looking for proof around you. And so if I continue to immerse myself in an environment where all of the things that I believe in, all the negative self-limiting beliefs that I can't accomplish these things, that things are hard, or that, you know, as a woman, as soon as I have kids, and, you know, all of that bogus stuff that we hear in society, if I continue to immerse myself in an environment where that's what I hear all day, well, that will become my information. That's what I'm going to absorb from my environment. But if I start then to research people that have done the things that I'm trying to do, that gives me faith that it's possible. I absolutely love the quote that you shared. If we continue to repeat the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, it's called insanity. And so what if I actually start to immerse myself in an environment through podcasts, through watching YouTube videos, through following the right people on Instagram, for example, which is what I do. I follow people who are older than me, who've done the things that I want to do in my older age, right? That is the information that I believe is true. And therefore, that gives me an element of faith. And then to start to surrender to the higher power becomes easier, because the negative self-talk and the negative information that we get from our environment is no longer present. So I'm just curious what you think about that in terms of maybe a tool that we could start to use also to start to harness that feeling of faith and certainty.
Well, what I would say is that anything that we want to cultivate, we want to figure out what behaviors, what practices to commit to generate that. Just like if we want to get good at anything, be it practicing, having faith that things are going to work out as opposed to they're not, the kind of fatalistic, really nihilistic type of approach, which really no one enjoys. People might come to that conclusion, but it's like pretty bleak, is finding out what behaviors and habits do I need to commit to doing so that I can, well, practice this to eventually get the result that I'm looking for here. And I'm a big fan of always going back to the basics. The basics are the best part of any practice. If you want to get good at any practice, it means you're great at the basics of that practice. And so what I would say is association is key. Association is everything. And as you mentioned, finding those above you. One saying I often like to say is, got to get a guru. You got to get a guru. You got to get a guru. Like, you want to get good? You want to become a great snowboarder? Find a great snowboarder and say, please, what can I do to learn from you? You want to become a great lawyer? Find a great lawyer and say, what can I do? So, you know, this point you made is so essential. And that is that not only do we want to find people that we could learn from, but your association is everything. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. This idea of who you spend time with, you become. And so the basics, what we do know with certainty is that if you want to become something, surround yourself by people who have that thing. So commit to putting yourself in the right environment, in the right association, in the right place at the right time with the right people. And that is the most, you can say, arguably the most surefire way to guarantee you success in that thing. Find people who have done, as you mentioned, who have already done the thing. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. Don't try to recreate it. Stand on the shoulders of giants. And that means find your crew of like-minded individuals that have done the thing you want and commit to being around them regularly in person via social media, as you so wonderfully mentioned. It's like, and consume your that type of content as opposed to what's on the news or whatever it might be.
So good. So good. And so well said. And you know, this is really important. And you know, I started, I think I will say in 2018, I started my personal development journey and I never turned back. And one thing I did was exactly what we're talking about today is immerse myself in a different environment. Not to say that this was better, it was different. And it was more around what I wanted to create in my life. And so I'm an entrepreneur. I immersed myself in an environment of entrepreneurs. And I always want to make sure that I was not the smartest person in the room or the most successful person in the room. I actually wanted to be in a room where everybody was further ahead of me and that they actually accepted me to be in that room. And I learned from them like a sponge. And I still continue to do that, Madhu. I have coaches and I will continue to learn. I continue to take courses and I'm a student for life. And I think the most valuable thing that I've ever, ever learned, and this is my mantra, is that I really know nothing. And I just want to be in the space where I'm open to constantly receive, because I believe that the moment that we say, I know that, I already know that, I know all that, I've learned all that. And the moment we start to speak this way, we block off the mind from any possibility of learning. And sometimes we may have heard that information. And especially at this point, it gets more and more rare for me to hear new information. But what I have noticed is that when I do allow to receive the information that I've already heard before, it lands in a very different way. And it's always so timely. And so I believe that that is also really, really big, especially if you've been in the space of health and fitness for a long time, or you've tried many things for a long time. If you're open to receive new information, that will completely change your life.
Empty cup philosophy, as they call it. It's like, if you go up with a full cup and you go around and say, fill it up. It's like, what can people do? They're like, it's full, but you empty the cup. You say, fill it up. Then you can always be receptive. Receptivity is key. And, you know, one of my teachers, I always love this saying. I mean, my mind doesn't love this saying, but the me loves it. And that's, I live to be corrected. It's a very good mind. If anyone wants to be free of all suffering and misery in this world, anyone ever gets, you know, unsolicited advice, if you say this mantra, I live to be corrected, and you imbibe that with, which is this idea that you're sharing of like putting yourself in the right place with people who you actually want to be corrected by. And that, you know, I live to be corrected and fill up my cup. Like, I know nothing. I got an empty cup here. Just fill it up, whatever you got. Not only does that create a fun life where you now are accessing information and knowledge that you otherwise wouldn't, but it's also creating an opportunity for you to fill up the mind, fill up the cup per se, with information that's outside of yourself. Because we're so limited with our senses. I mean, so little we can see. You can't even see the closest thing to your eyes, your eyelids. It's like, what can the eyes see? You know, what can... walk down the street and you're like, somebody just call my name. I'm like, oh, okay. It's like, you know, the senses are so imperfect. There's only so much they can do. So, you know, as I say, two minds is better than one. Surrounding yourself with minds that are greater than ours and just filling up our cups in such a way as not only the people, but also the environment, as you mentioned. Like if you take a house plant and a shade plant and you put it in the sun and go die. If you put a, you know, a succulent, it's different types of plants that need different types of environments. What to speak of us? It's like, we got to be in the right environment with the right people, with the right water, the right sunlight, the right exposure, et cetera. And who could give us something more important than that, being in the right environment?
Yeah, so good. So good. And I think on that note, we have to probably talk about the other side too, which is who do you not take advice from? Because I've got my hard rules also around who I allow to share some feedback or insight with and who really I draw that hard line. So what do you think, Madhu? Who would you say you don't take advice from or recommend not to?
Well, the primary principle is we're talking about take advice from the people you want to be like. I think that's it's always easier to give the negative if we know what the positive is, right? And so the positive is who do I take advice from? It's people I want to be like. And if you don't want to be like them, don't take advice. It's really that simple. It's like take advice from the people you want to become like because you will become like those the place you listen to. By the way, that means the shows that you're watching. The
Yeah.
things you're listening to, the content you're consuming, not just the people you're speaking with, the people that you are taking information and learning from. You want them to have done the thing you want to do, or you want to cultivate the qualities of it. Whether you want to or not, you are going to be like them because that's just how association works through osmosis. So the contrary, the other end is avoid. I mean, it sounds like a strong word, but it's like avoid people you do not want to be like. Now, if you're strong enough and situated, then you can, as we like to say, give association. As monks, sometimes we would go to places which were very, let's say, unconducive for meditation. We'll be very nice. And it's like sometimes people do very things that are making it very difficult to control the mind. And we would go together because there's a power in numbers and one stick you can break easily. Together become more difficult with the goal of okay, try to give to places that are otherwise very hard for them to make shifts and changes. And what would happen would was going into these types of circumstances, going to these types of places, we would find that all it takes is just a little opening. All it takes is a little curiosity, a little willingness from someone to kind of open up the door. Which case they take you as the authority, and then therefore you can actually help them. So that's a little different if you can give them association, of course. But I mean, if you're surrounding people and they are talking about things you don't want to talk about, doing things you don't want to be doing, then get out of the room. You said it so perfectly. It's like if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
The wrong room. Yeah, so good. So good. So, what could be some tools or exercises that maybe you could share for somebody, again, wanting to learn how to control the mind, wanting to learn how to have the mind work with them instead of against them?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have what we call the monk mindset method. It's just a very simple strategy that anyone can start to employ to create success in any particular area of their life. And it's a simple framework. I'll kind of give overarching theme of it. And then step number one is always getting in touch with what you want. When we talk about achieving something, when we talk about gaining something, learning something, if we are trying to imbibe, understand, learn things that we don't actually have any desire around, it's going to be very, very difficult. I'm not suggesting never do that. I'm not suggesting there aren't things we should do that we don't want to do. But when it comes to actually achieving sustainable success, we always need to connect things with our true desire, the desire to be healthy, the desire to be able to focus and have clarity of mind, the desire to in the blank. We always start with the real desire because otherwise the heart's not going to be in it. And everyone knows what this feels like when we're doing something just because it's like, I should be doing it. It's like, that's not sustainable fuel. Again, not suggesting no one should, people should only do what they want. I'm saying in order for sustainable success, we need to connect things to our real desires. So step number one is what do you really truly want? And figuring those things out with great clarity. Not, I want to feel better. No. We're talking about physical health. What exactly does that look like? Like a crystal clear vision. You can only manifest something in this world. And I don't mean in a woo way. I literally mean something can only come into creation with a clear mental image. What the person who created a sewing machine had to first envision in the mind a sewing machine. Everything in this world first comes in the mind. Somebody has an idea, and that idea crystallizes with some clarity, and then you can create it in real life. So, in the same way, if you want to manifest or create something in your life, you must start with a clear, crystal clear vision of what you want. From there, you claim what that means is you turn it into the present tense so that you know if you actually want that thing or not. Because somebody might say, I want to work out 5 times a week. Is that really what you want? No one actually wants to work out. Why do you work out? Because you want to feel healthy. What the hell does healthy mean? I don't
Right.
even know. It's like, okay, I want to feel strong and comfortable in my body and feel sustainable energy. Like, want to get to the goal and put it in the present tense so we know we're actually on par to something amazing. And so again, what do I want and how do I get crystal clear with that and turn it into the present? An example being, instead of I want to lose weight, you don't want to lose weight. You want to feel comfortable and strong and energetic. So that's the thing. So then we turn it into the present. I am strong, confident, energetic, comfortable. And then not as a way as to fake it till you make it. You say it out loud and hoping that it comes true. No, that's the first step, is create a clear vision of what you want in the present tense version so you know you're going to get it. So that's step number one. Step number two is, what behaviors do I need to commit to making this a reality? What behaviors do I need to commit to making this a reality? The cool thing is most of you already know. You know, it's amazing how much information we already have accessible to achieve the dreams and the life that we want. It's just a matter of actually being diligent and saying, okay, what would I need to do? What behaviors could I commit to feel strong, comfortable, and energized in my body? Okay, now we look to, I want to get my body moving 5 times a week. I want to X, Y, Z. And then you identify the behaviors. The third step from there is what we call schedule, ideal schedule, which means, what would your day need to look like for all these behaviors to work so that you have a routine that if you were to consistently follow the routine that you've now created, you will be successful. Right. That's step number three. And then the last step of the 4-step monk mindset method is, we call them stressors and relievers, which really means, what are the things that are going to stop you from being consistent, and plan ahead in terms of how to avoid them from stopping you. And then what do you do if they are stopping you? How do you come back to center when you find yourself going off the road? And so again, step one, what exactly do you want? Gain crystal clear vision. Step two, what behaviors and habits do you have to commit to achieve that? Step three, what would your schedule have to look like on any given day so that you can be consistent with the behaviors that will ultimately provide you success? And step number four is, plan ahead for the things that are going to make you stop. And how do you avoid the things that are going to get you to stop, as well as how do you snap back to center if you have stopped?
So good. So good. We speak the same language, but different dialects. So this is so good. I love everything that you said. And you are such a beautiful soul, Madhu. You're just a gorgeous light. And I'm so incredibly grateful for this conversation and so honored to be sharing this with you today. And so as we wind down our interview today, I'm just curious if there was anything else that you wanted to share that you didn't have a chance to just yet.
Well, one thing I believe in is, I mean, being a monk who had no possessions to my name and never had to worry about what I was going to pick out and wear. I was just, okay, orange robes, cool. You know, what hairdo, you know, very simple life with not much of anything. I've learned the value of service. And so my whole shtick is, and I think anyone who deeply considers the values of life will realize that service is what provides happiness. I mean, they even did tests on this, that they tested a bunch of people who were the happiest of them all in terms of like literally looking at their different neural modulators and different ways that they express and experience happiness. And it was always new mothers always took the top of the charts. And it makes no logical sense. Why would a mom who gets nothing from their baby, all the moms go, how dare you say nothing? No, I literally mean you do everything for baby. Baby does literally nothing for you except for emotional feelings. But even those feelings are for you. They aren't necessarily from the baby. The baby just sends love, doesn't even communicate the love. Right. So how does that make sense? It's because service is what provides happiness. The only way we can feel connected with people around us is by serving them. If we love someone, how do we know we love them? By service. And so I believe in the service method so much so that I, very grateful, we grew a very successful business. And my whole thing now is just, I give away all our information. And inevitably, some people still wind up wanting to give us a little money. And we're very grateful for that. But we give all our information for free. We have courses that, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to say this, but they're better than some of these $10,000, $20,000 courses people do. We give everything away for free in our community, just as a way so that anyone who wants to grab the information, consume it, and go be successful. So, you know, if anyone is feeling like you just need some support, you need even further community, and you want it either from the luxury of your own phone, we're happy to help. We're always happy to help and send you as much as we can.
So beautiful. Thank you so much for that generous offer. And if somebody wanted to reach out to you then to learn more about you or to connect with you or even to work with you, where could they go to do that?
All platforms. You can find us at madhu.life. That's M-A-D-H-U, M-A-D-H-U.L-I-F-E, madhu.life. I mean, that's our website. That's our all socials. But you know, what I usually like to say is find me on any social that you like and then send me the word. Well, let's make it special for you. Send me the word. Let's do Sherry. It's Herry. And if somebody comes from you, I have a special gift for them. something on my mind right now, but I want to leave it a surprise, something very special as a little gift I'd like to give for anyone who comes from this particular podcast. And so find me on any platform. If you send me the word Sherry, feel free to drop me any reflections as well. Reflections are great because then what did I learn? What did I hear by writing it down, talking about it more, which can help it go deeper. So definitely send me reflections, but send me the word Sherry. And then I will not only gain you access to our free community with all of our free content, you know, amazing individuals there, but we can also, I have a little something special I'd like to send to everyone. Only that comes from this podcast though.
Amazing, Matt. That is so amazing. So wonderful. So generous. Wow. All right. Well, it's been such a pleasure and thank you so much. And I have a feeling you'll be back on at some point. So watch out.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fall in Love with Fitness. Whether you're already on your fitness journey or just getting started, we're in this together. Just head on over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave a review, and you'll be entered into the drawing to win my 6-week transformation course. Then go to fallinlovewithfitness.com and get your free gift from me so you get back your energy and reinvigorate your life. Join me on the next episode, and remember, you are an inspiration.